Welcome to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am your host, James Stratton, and man, it's been a while. It's not a hiatus or anything, or just skipping games. I am actually, for those who are not Instagram, I kind of announced it on there. I'm doing something different. I'm noticing kind of a trend, what's going on as far as listenership. I don't think every night podcast is really sustainable for what is going on, especially with this stretch of season. So what I decided to do is shake things up, try to do a once a week podcast or whatnot, or two times a week, depending on what it is. So haven't stopped watching the games, that's for sure. Haven't stopped taking notes. So I'm actually going to cover four games this podcast. So the first one's going to start with the Wizards. Then after that, I'll go over the Raptors game, then the Bulls, and then last night's game with the Nets. It's going to kind of stream flow it. It's going to be a little bit longer of a podcast. I'm not going to go as in-depth unless I feel like it necessary as far as the quarters go, but still give my same analysis that I've done in the past. And I just think this is a little bit more sustainable with, you know, work, family life, and keeping up with this podcast as well. And I think just doing it every night was kind of constricting as well as far as my time management goes here. So again, it's all free. I don't do this for, you know, cash moolah or anything, but it's really good to sit down and just go over the notes. And that way, when I talk to other people and like, hey, listen to podcasts, this is what I think about and whatnot. And again, thanks again for listening. I know it's been a while. It's been, oh, I think almost a week now, or just over a week. Sorry, it took me so long to sit down and finally do this. I think I'm going to start doing Sundays and releasing Monday morning. I think that's my plan, but it'll be fluid as far as what's going. So let's get into it. So the first game was between the Jazz and the Wizards in Washington, D.C. Going into it, I thought this was a very losable game for us, mainly because the Wizards do perform very well when it comes to these top 6-7 seeds in each conference. I believe they're the only team so far that has beaten every single team on each conference after they beat us. So before that, I knew this was kind of not going to look favorable for us. Westbrook's definitely does hate the Utah Jazz. He does have amnesty for it, so it wasn't too surprising to see him being super aggressive. So let's go into this first quarter. So Mike Conley is out. He's just on injury protocol as far as management goes. So really good that we're just keeping him healthy, fresh. And Ingles is inside the game, or in the game as a starter, to pick things up. So, of course, the Jazz start the game with a turnover. It seems that's what it is as of late. And Ingles is keeping the Jazz in this game kind of early. The Wizards are really pressing and running after the Jazz get up 12-10. And then they go off on a 13-0 run. Just seems like no motivation on the floor. There's no motivation to talk to each other in transition. No motivation to stop the Wizards' press during that 13-0 run. They just look like they're running through the motions right now. They don't seem like they want to win this game, honestly. The Jazz are missing every single wide open shot, it seems. They seem to get their spots, but they're just off. Defense also isn't present, and they just can't seem to stop anyone inside the paint. And the Jazz are down after 31-20. Never good. I mean, I know we constantly lose first quarters, but that was a definite loss. Second quarter, the Wizards continue to build on the lead that they started in that first quarter, so the Jazz don't wake up and come out. At times, the Jazz do wake up at defense, and then they'll just start slacking off. Whatever the game plan was coming into this one, they're just not executing it. I don't even know if there was a game plan, honestly. And just, man, Bogey is trash. He's just trash this one. He's been trash lately as well. He's missing wide open shots. He's turning it over constantly. He is just being the weak player on defense overall, I mean, everybody knows to attack him. Just not the same player that we saw last year at all. Wizards definitely want this game more than the Jazz, and it seems like they only show up for these tough teams on their schedule. And the Jazz can't do anything. They're just turning it over. It seems like every single time they go down the court, it's a turnover at this point of the game. Mitchell is trying to will the Jazz on offense, but nobody else is stepping up yet. And after the first, the Jazz are down big, 64-46. Just not a great game at all for the Jazz. I really don't know what else to say. I mean, I could get into the next quarters overall, but it's just the same thing that I've talked about in the podcast in the past about how do you beat this Utah Jazz team? And teams have figured it out. You press them. You do this transition basketball and offense where you're constantly running, and you're getting in their face as a defensive end. You're getting in their face. You're getting in the passing lanes. You're keeping your hands active. You're stripping the ball, especially when Bogey decides to drive. Seems like every single time that dude drives, the basketball is stripped from his hands, and he goes through that little flail layup. And sometimes it works. He gets a foul call, but most of the time, I think he's just flailing. And I mean, the next two quarters were pretty much the same. Don't want to go into it. Just keep repeating myself. But the Wizards came in and they executed, and the Jazz just did not seem like they wanted this one. So let's get into the team stats over on the game. The Wizards do win this one, 131-122. The Jazz do kind of start to climb back a little bit, but it was just too little too late, definitely, in this one. They shot 46% on field goals, 38% on three-point made, so it just seems like they got their shots up. It's just their defense that was extremely terrible. They even out-rebound 47-43 and only allow 7 offensive rebounds. They get 19 assists on 44 field goals. That's 43%, and again, I'd like to see it around 60%. It shows that they're distributing the basketball a lot more. And they do cause 16 turnovers, so that definitely does hurt us. Or they gave up 16. And that's another thing I've kind of noticed during this little slump is people the players on the Jazz just seem so hesitant sometimes to shoot the basketball, like they don't want to make a mistake. And it was just definitely not a good game. The F note, of course, is going to go to Bojan Bogdanović during this game. He had. I was going to give it to him. Actually, I gave it to George Niang. He only had 3 points on 1-7 shooting, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 turnovers. And just talking about it, I mean, there's really 3 players for Jazz Country. Shout out to them. They kind of pointed out that there's really a good discussion of who got the F note is between the 3 players. Is between Bojan, between Jordan Clarkson of all people, and George Niang. And that's what really hurt us, is we didn't have our offensive spark plug. It came from Joe Ingles, and I'll get to our notes of the game. So the C note of this one was Rudy Gobert with 10 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Really the only one ever showing up for defense every single night, it seems like. The B note of the game was Donovan Mitchell with 42 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals himself. And the A note of the game is Joe Ingles finally getting a personal record after scoring, I believe it was 27 points 6 times. At 6 different points in his career, he scored his career high 6 different times. Finally breaks that with 34 points. He gets 5 rebounds, adds 2 assists, and 2 steals. So again, tough one. The Wizards just take control of the game early in the second quarter. They never looked back. They definitely looked like they wanted it more than the Jazz. And they're just going through the motions. So let's go into the next game against the Tampa Bay Raptors. I'll only call them the Tampa Bay Raptors since we went to Tampa Bay to play them. But I believe we play them later in the year. And then I'll call them Toronto Raptors. But I think that's kind of an injustice that this this city has hosted him, and they don't do what the Hornets did when New Orleans had Katrina. They went to Oklahoma City for a little bit, and they called themselves the New Orleans Oklahoma City Hornets. Really got the fan base excited, kind of made the Seattle owner lick his lips about moving to Oklahoma City for whatever reason. I think, again, that right now they're going to go over this long, long rebuild, and at least if you're in Seattle, you'll have a lot of basketball fans, but I don't know about Oklahoma City. But then again, small market, not much to do out there, so I guess you might as well go see a Thunder game, even if they're getting bombed. Anyways, I started talking about the Thunder, even though we're playing the Raptors. So let's get in the first quarter. Conley is back, and he's already making his mark into this game. The defense is looking a lot better. They're getting hands and faces during the shot and getting boards. Then the Jazz just get 3 turnovers in a row, a bug that definitely that they just need to fix, but they just seem to not fix it. Again, the Jazz go on another long stretch, not able to hit a single shot, and this just allows runs to happen from the other team. And the threes are starting to drop for the Raptors now. The perimeter defenses of late has not looked that well. The Jazz lose this quarter 27-23. So going into the second quarter, what I've talked about is the formula for being the Jazz. It's just simple. And some issues has been glaring for some while, to score on the Jazz, post aggressiveness. So just getting in the paint, and that's all the Raptors are doing, is just scoring in the paint at this point, and pressing transition offense, and to beat them on defense is pressurizing them, and aggressiveness, whether or not they care to foul in the man, the Raptors are fouling, and we'll get into that one later. Active hands and double teaming players who just don't keep their heads up. It's like Bojan has been terrible keeping his head up. Clarkson at sometimes has done the same thing. Same thing with George Niang. Just not keeping their heads up into the game. Noticing that, hey, I have 2, maybe 3 people on me. If someone's trying to sneak up from behind, there should be 1 or 2 men open, and getting the ball passed out like we've been doing early in the season. With this small team, the Jazz can only seem to score by 3. The Raptors flood the paint with 4 defenders at a time to force the Jazz to hit those threes. So they're pretty much daring us, even though we're the best 3-point shooting team. They want to lose that way. And I think that's a pretty good strategy. You know, let's clog the paint. That gives you a better chance of getting a defensive rebound. Also, the Jazz have shot poorly as of late, so might as well see what they can do. But Ingles has just been incredible the past few games. He's really forcing teams to double team him, which I don't think many teams think about when they're creating their defensive schemes. The great defense that was seen in the early part of this the first quarter in this game is now completely gone. The Raptors are scoring at will, and now, after I wrote that, the defense really steps up and forces a whole bunch of turnovers and bad shots. And they allow the Jazz to go on a 14-2 run because of that. And at halftime, they're actually up 55-54. We score 32 points to their 27. So getting into the third quarter, the Jazz again start slow, and they can't get the offense flowing, while the defense again struggles. Not much to say during this one. Both teams are just really answering each other, and the Raptors are keeping up their over-aggressiveness. And I tell you what, Nick Nurse, the coach for the Raptors, is the LeBron James of complaining to the refs. And it bleeds down to the players. I mean, just constantly seeing those Raptors complaining to the refs constantly. And it's Nick Nurse. And I think after every timeout, anytime someone's on a free throw line, Nick Nurse is in the ref's ears, you know, just complaining about anything. From when I first saw him, I believe against, you know, really got more familiar with that finals run, I kind of noticed that he was kind of like a toxic coach on the court. Toronto fans might burn me on this one, but it just seems like that way. It just seems like he's more of a complainer than he is a schemer. Like, he'll complain more than what he really does need to fix. And I'll get onto that again later. The defense on both ends really step up. So both sides are just really being aggressive at the end of this one, making offense almost inoperable. And the Jazz are up 79-77 with a 24-23 quarter. So just low scoring after it seemed like it was just going to be a 40-point quarter at the beginning. Getting into the last quarter, another slow start. The Jazz go on a 12-0 run to build their own lead. And that pedal just needs to keep pressed. But then the Raptors start their comeback by locking down on defense and making their own threes. And Mitchell at this point is now forcing it up and not hitting. He's taking bad shots. And the Raptors and Jazz are just trading buckets in this close game. And the Jazz are able to go to the free throw line. That's what's really helping us. Definitely staying into this one. Just the Raptors' over-aggressiveness, especially inside the paint, has really killed them. And I've noticed offensive rebounds just really kill us in clutch time. They just don't kill us like when we're up by 8 or 9. You know, it's always when we're only up by 1 or 2 or trying to come back from a lead. Rudy really needs help during this time. The Jazz can't stop anything now. The Raptors hit 3 after 3 while the Jazz are not getting anything done on their own end. But man, Mitchell came up huge in the end. He ends up ending the game, making 3 free throws, 2 shots, one big, huge jumper, and having himself an 8-0 run in the end by himself. After a 3 in and out from Siakam, the Jazz bounce back and come back huge in the end, 115-112. They were down by 5 with, I believe, 90 seconds left to the game. So just great, great grit, grind. I mean, that's another feather to add to the cap of wins this season, is being able to bounce back after losing a lead late, getting down by 5, and being able to still win the game. So they score 36 points at 35. It was pretty much a free throw fest and a Raptors catch up. During that game, the Jazz score 46% field goals, 32% on three-pointers, so just terrible on the three-point line this one. 56-36 on the boards. We only gave up 3 offensive rebounds. And again, that's why I'm saying the offensive rebound only kills us in the clutch time. 21 assists on 34 field goals and 62%, 13 turnovers. And man, so I want to talk about what I was going to circle back at. Nick Nurse. He complains after the game the reason why they lost is because the refs were unfair to them. He starts talking about how we got to the line a lot more than they did. We did. We went to the line 41 times. They only went 14 times. And yeah, you think about that. You look at it. It's like, yeah, that's really unfair. Well, you didn't watch the game. And even Nick Nurse talks about it. He's like, we were twice as aggressive. Well, you know, twice as aggressive means you're going to get twice the amount of fouls. And if you're twice as aggressive during shooting motions, and they're like 3 or 4 times more aggressive, because the thing that Rudy Gobert is really good at is getting more blocks than fouls every single game this season. Of course, the other team's going to go, you're the twice the aggressor. That's a direct quote from him. So it's just, he pretty much explained how they got more fouls without, you know, realizing he did. So the FNO of that game is George Niang again. 0 points, 2 rebounds in 16 minutes. Just, it's like Derek Favors. He just disappears sometimes, and it's just frustrating. You should be able to rely on every single player coming in the game. I know a lot of times you'll have off games, but it just seems like he's standing in the corner on offense, like just standing, waiting for the ball to come to him. I believe he doesn't even shoot that entire game, or if he does, he's like 0-1 or something. I don't remember. Sino of the game was Rudy Gobert, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. Donovan Mitchell gets the B note with 31 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. And the A note does go to Joe Ingles again, 2 games in a row, with 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and 1 steal. So if that sounded familiar, all the notes of the game, I think for the first time this season, were the same back-to-back. So let's get into the third game. This is just a marathon. Man, the Bulls. At the Bulls. So first quarter. Again, the game starts with turnovers. It just seems like that. Maybe that's a good sign sometimes. Missed shots, not allowing the team to make, and allowing the opposing team to make their shots all in the paint. I believe the Bulls just were constantly shooting in the paint after constantly. You probably hear my kids screaming up there. They just got out of the bath. Bogey, no surprise, is still off his game. At times, he's too aggressive and just not letting the game come to him. Mitchell, however, has gotten 10 of the first 13 points for the Jazz, and so far, just really their only offense. The Jazz start going on a defensive and offensive tear, going on a good 9-0 run to end the quarter and up 29-23. Second quarter, Joe Ingles is continuing his hot road trip, hitting everything he takes so far, helping the Jazz stretch to a 17-0 run between the two quarters. The Bulls just can't hit anything right now, missing four shots close to the rim in a row. They did got like a few offensive rebounds and they just miss. Now Donovan Mitchell is showing that he is hot. He's just making three threes in a row now. Just a great sign to see him getting his confidence at times. After the Jazz start a strong start to the quarter, they let up a bit and let the Bulls still feel confident about this game that they could possibly potentially come up. I think the Jazz were up 24-25 at one point. And after or going into the half, the Jazz are up 56-42. We outscore them 27-19. Just a very good defensive, really good defensive game so far. Going into the third quarter, Bogey right now, he's like this big guy in high school that you knew that he could post anybody up he wanted to. Just get the ball down low, and he's just going to handle it. But no, what he decides to do is he decides to camp out at the three-point line on offense and shoot threes and drive like he's some point guard. The reason why I say this is because the start of the third quarter, you could tell Quinn Snyder is trying to get him in the game. He actually says it at the post-game conference that, yeah, I did it to try to get him a little bit more into the game. And he posts up and he makes two post moves in a row and makes him in. I mean, just very good. I think that's what needs to happen is he needs to do both post moves and not driving. And I think that helps out a little bit more getting his back to the basket. If someone peels off and tries to steal it while he's trying to back down, just using your voice to say pick up the ball or pass, you know, something to show that someone is coming up to try to steal the ball. Anyways, Gobert is having a block party out there, and Simmons, you're not invited, just to let you know. You know you're not the best defensive player in the league, Simmons. I hate to tell you that. I know you have this little emotion in your head that you think you deserve awards that you shouldn't get, like Rookie of the Year. You don't deserve Defensive Player of the Year. Yes, I get it. Boo-hoo, you have to guard 1 through 5 sometimes. But you don't do it well. You don't do it great. Because the two games, you just constantly got driven past by our guards. So you can't say you guard 1 through 5. You guard 1 through 5, but it doesn't mean you do it well. You can be a jack of all trades, but a master of none. Gobert is that master, and he's a master of many things because he doesn't try to push what he can do on defense. I mean, anytime you watch a Jazz game, Rudy Gobert's in the paint, except for the Bulls game for some reason. People don't drive. They just give up. They're like, nope, there's no help on me, and they turn around. They literally turn around and run the other direction with their tails between their legs. Simmons, I mean, I don't see it. I mean, I've talked about it in Jack and Jordan's podcast. I just don't see it. Like, yes, he does have to guard a lot of players, you know, 1 through 5. That doesn't make you a defensive player of the year. That just means that, hey, you're pretty good at defending 5 players. 1 through 5, you're good at it. But it doesn't mean you're the best at it. I mean, definitely just a rebound hog that Gobert is, block party central. I mean, the game is completely different with Rudy out there. This game defensively, sorry, I had to go on a little rant there. this game definitely has been what we have expected from the Jazz this season so far. Playing off a two-day rest against a team that has played the night before does help get, and it pretty much helps get their rhythm back as well. So Jazz are up after 389-71. They score 33-39 on this one. Going into the fourth quarter, the Bulls start aggressive in the paint and go up again 8-2 on this quarter on the run. Really attacking, even if 8-block Rudy is in the paint at this point. At this time, he has 8 blocks. After a Coach Q timeout, the Jazz settled down and continued their great defensive and get their game and get to their spots on offense. Rudy is staying in the game to try to get that 10th block to get his triple double. It doesn't really happen, and he gets close 2 times. He does block Lauri Markkanen twice. One was a foul. One he ended up making somehow. Just so close. But yeah, the bench is clear at 2 minutes to go left. The Jazz win big, 120-95. They outscored the Bulls again, 31-24. So just a great game. 49% field goals, 43% three-point made. So the three-pointers are back. We do get out-rebounded 50-57, and we do give up 14 offensive rebounds. We had 25 assists on 45 field goals, which is 56%. And we only allowed 9 turnovers, so definitely took care of the ball a lot better, except for that first quarter, of course. So let's go in the notes of the game. Bojan Bogdanović, half note. So he beats out Niang. I actually think Niang did all right that game, if I remember right. So Bojan Bogdanović, 8 points on 3 of 14 shooting. 2 of those were that post move I was talking about. He misses another one, the third one. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 turnovers. I believe he's one of the only players with a negative. No, he had positive, but it was like a positive 4 or something. Really low for a blowout game. C-note of the game was Joe Ingles, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, plus or minus positive 18. Still on fire, but I mean Donovan Mitchell, 30 points for the B-note, 6 assists, and 1 block. And the A-note of the game goes to Rudy Gobert with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 9 blocks, plus or minus of positive 19. So 3 games in a row, the ABC notes are the same players, not in the same exact spots except for Mitchell. So that's pretty cool. Alrighty, let's get into the final game, the Jazz against the Nets. And let me just start, I mean, so we can allow 5,600 fans in the arena right now. That's about a quarter capacity for Vivint Smart Home Arena. And I've been looking at tickets quite often, trying to see when's a good time to go into the game. Of course, going to watch the Jazz play a losing team is the cheapest option. But man, this Nets game, it was expensive last time I saw. I feel sorry for every single person who went to that Nets game, who paid really good money, really, really good money. And this trash happens. Harden's out. Durant's out. Irvin's out. Griffin's out. All right. And it's on ESPN too. So it doesn't help the ESPN image or the NBA image either. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I can't attest to exactly what's going on. Apparently Harden hurt his neck, but he definitely didn't look like it. His peanuts and beer on the sideline. So, yeah, it was like the first image they showed, like, oh, he's out and he's just munching on the bench some food. I'm like, oh my gosh. What's going on with Durant? Like, what's wrong? He's been injured for quite some time now. Before the All-Star game. What's going on with AD too for the Lakers? That's quite... Anyways, let's get into this one. So same story, different game. Jazz continuously start the cold. First, cold and sloppy. But man, this Nets team is just too depleted to be a threat. A fire gets lit under the Jazz, and they go off on an 11-0 run really early to really set the precedence for this one. Mitchell just seems so much more confident as of late, just making tough shots, just constantly making these really tough shots, good shots, just pulling up and shooting. After one, Jazz are up 38-17, 21 points, up 21 points in that first one. Again, I feel so sorry. It was a late game too. It was at 8 o'clock. So I feel sorry for everybody who spent extra money, who dragged their kids out to watch these star players show up in Salt Lake City to sit on a bench. Irvin doesn't even show up to Salt Lake City, and neither does KD. So, no, KD was, no, it was Blake Griffin. He was in his street clothes. Second quarter, Jazz need to refocus. An unneeded 7-0 run to start the quarter from the Nets. And it just seems like a mental lapse. Like, we got this. The Jazz literally can't make a shot this quarter early. They start 0-9, and the Nets start the quarter on 11-2 run. Brooklyn's strategy on this one is constantly subbing, keeping their legs fresh, and trying to really just outrun the Jazz, but they got to remember they're four players down at the same time. But, I mean, it wasn't a great quarter from the Jazz, but they're still up going into halftime, 63-38, 25-21 on that one. Going into the third quarter, the Jazz just continued the dominance early in this half, just not allowing the second unit on the Nets to go off because that's what they are, the second unit. Not much to report, really. Great ball movement. Finding the right man open. While pressing on defense, they force him to take less than ideal shots. The only really major critique I have in this one is there's just a lot of second chance points for the Nets. The Jazz go in the fourth quarter up 90-61 after 3 points, 27-23. So for background history, before you get mad at me, I have to leave the house by 5 o'clock in the morning to get to work. And at this point, it's 10:15. I'm tired. And I passed out right when the fourth quarter started. And you can't blame me. I mean, this game was just in the bag. They were up by 40 points at one point. 40. So, yeah, I fell asleep. Next thing I wake up, I'm watching Woj talk about trade talks. And, yeah. So that was the end of that game. The Jazz do end up blowing him out. No surprise, right? 118-88, 30-point win. They had 45% on field goals, so they weren't as great on field goals. 42% three pointers made. So again, the three pointers are back. We out rebound them 60-57. I think that's the highest we've rebounded so far this season. 60. We allow 13 offensive rebounds, so again, just one thing we need to tighten up. 24 assists on 41 field goals at that 60% mark I like. It just seems like people are a lot more confident to shoot the ball when they're open. And 13 turnovers. Not really concerned about that one. I think after the first quarter, we only had 3, so I'm not really too worried about that. The notes of the game on this one, Donovan Mitchell, a note. 27 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, plus or minus a positive 38. Positive 38. Be known of the game. I'm doing it backwards, ain't I? Mike Conley, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, plus or minus 27. C note of the game is Rudy Gobert with 8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks, plus or minus a plus 27. F note of the game is Jordan Clarkson. I think it's been a while since he's been the F note of the game. 3 points on 1 of 15 shooting. I mean, I'm glad he decided not to shoot well this game. We didn't need him to. 2 rebounds, 2 turnovers. So let's get into like the unders. So for those who are tuning in the first time on the podcast, I like to see the Jazz keep, you know, teams under 100 points. I believe that's the number one formula to success. Defense is our offense, in my opinion. So let's go over. This is combining all 4 games, so I didn't want to go through it after every single game because it'd just be annoying at this point. So after every single game, or after the first quarter, if the team scores over 25 points, we're 12-9. If we under 25 points, we're 20-2 now. If we go into halftime with them with the opposing team over 50 points, we're 13-10. We're 19-1 when we hold them under. 19-1. That's crazy. Over 75 points going into the final quarter, we are 17-11. If the opposing team score under 75 points, we're now 15-0. We haven't lost a game. Whenever they come in the final quarter, 75 points or less. Over 100 points at the final of the game, we're 18-11. Still not too bad, but we're 14-0 whenever we score them under. And we got two of them these past four games. So just over analysis is just, I think these last two games probably is a very good thing for the Jazz to go through. Just getting their offensive sets, playing teams that are kind of garbage right now. The Bulls did make a lot of free agency moves to try to get themselves a little bit better. Just surprising moves. I thought they were going to blow it up too, but they end up keeping Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen. They add Vucevic from Orlando. I believe they added another asset. I can't think of the top of my head right now, but just really good moves from their GM. The Magic completely exploded. I forget who, the Celtics get, but they get, it's on my head. Anyways, so they pick him up for pretty much a can of Bud Light and some peanuts. they ended up giving someone away. They traded away Tice, Daniel Tice. I'm surprised. I liked him. I hate playing against him because he always seems to show up against Rudy Gobert. Maybe because they wear the same number. But yeah. So I don't know. I'm thinking I'm liking it. I think four games is just a little too much to cover in one, so I'd like to probably try to keep it three games or under. So let me know how you think about covering more games or whatnot. Before we go, I'm going to go over the standings right now, go into my tiers, of course, on each conference. So let's go into the Eastern Conference as far as where we're at right now. So your first tier is between Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn. Brooklyn does drop to the number three slot with sitting every single player on the Nets team on the bench while getting blown out by the Jazz. Those three teams, the next one after, is seven games behind with Charlotte. Charlotte is number four right now. I mean, it sucks to hear what happened to Melo Ball, especially what's going on this season with him. He's having such a good season. So, terrible news. But anyways, so that second tier in the Eastern Conference is between Charlotte, New York, Atlanta, Miami, Boston, and I'll put Indianapolis. So they're all within two games of each other. That's crazy. Like four through nine is within two games of each other. The final tier kind of by themselves is Chicago at that 10th spot. And then you have Toronto that surprisingly gave up Kyle Lowry. Cleveland, Washington, Orlando kind of round out that bottom tier. And then Detroit's just out on an island by themselves way, way down there. Western Conference, us, we're pretty much by ourselves. We're three games ahead of the Suns who are next. I'd like to see the tiers be like two and a half games within each other. Then the next tier goes Phoenix, Los Angeles Clippers, and Los Angeles Lakers. The next tier is going to start with Denver, with Portland tied with them, and Dallas. Then the final playoff tier is between San Antonio, Memphis, and Golden State. The kind of I'm out of the playoff tier, which I'm still mad about the New Orleans Pelicans because every time I start vouching for them, they lost. Because I think I was with, it was at the last podcast with the Celtics. And I said, oh, they're winning by 20. Of course they are, because I started talking good about them. They blew that lead, and they lost. They lost. So no more love for you, Pelicans. So New Orleans, Sacramento, Oklahoma City kind of round out that kind of better out of the playoffs race, and Houston and Minnesota are the bottom tier, with Houston going on a 20-game losing streak before finally beating an 8-game losing streak Toronto Raptors. So thanks for listening to the podcast. Yes, it is longer. It's about twice as long, but I mean, I think I like it, especially if I cut it down one more game. Great news. Next game against the Grizzlies, I will be in Vivint Smart Home Arena. So check out my storyboard for that. I'm going to the game. I'm going to be in the lower bowl. I'm going to post stories. I'm going to let you ask me questions. Try to take videos of some people on the sideline if I can. I think it would be a great experience. Great to finally get a Jazz game. Shout out to BlackRock Auto. They're the ones who gave me tickets to the game. So just awesome. And of course, I'll put a little bit more details of how I got that. So yeah, I'll go to my first game. Me and the missus are going. If you're going to be there, just yell hi to me. I'll probably hear you. Since there's not a lot of people there. It might be, but I think it's louder than what I think it's going to be. It probably is, because I think it's just going to be like pin drops in there. Because I mean, I went to Jazz games in the mid-2000s, in the mid-2010s, when the Jazz just were not good and people weren't showing up to the games and the ticket prices were stupid cheap to get down to the lower bowl. And yeah, it's, you know, it would just be like that, except for watching the number one team in the league be on the court with only 5,000 fans in attendance. So I think that'd be very cool to see. So yeah, look out for that. Look out on my Instagram. I'll post a whole bunch of stories that game. My wife's more tech savvy, and so she'll help me with that. So you're in for a treat. So until next time, as always, go Jazz.